So your next step of the Odyssey, or Odysseus's, was Polyphemus the Cyclops. And I'm assuming I'm pronouncing that wrongly. But anyway, the only thing I know about Polyphemus the Cyclops that I can remember is the Harryhausen movie. And that's Jason and the Argonauts, I think. But anyway, Polyphemus the Cyclops. Tell us about Polyphemus then, Dom.
So Polyphemus the Cyclops was the son of Poseidon, the god of the sea, and lived a kind of solitary life as a shepherd, I think, on an island. He lived in a cave, and Odysseus and his sailors were, I think, shipwrecked on this island because Poseidon was angry, and they ended up getting stuck in the path of this Cyclops. And for anyone that's not encountered a Cyclops before, they're essentially one-eyed giant monsters. And Polyphemus was sort of threatening to kill all the sailors. And I think Odysseus ended up blinding his one eye and tricking him to be able to get out and to escape from this cave as well.
Didn't he dress up as a sheep or something? Or am I getting mixed up with something else there?
Yeah, he does dress up as a sheep, yeah.
Okay.
And he also introduced his name as Nobody.
No man. Nobody or no man.
That's it.
And so when the Cyclops shouts for help and starts screaming, people say, who is attacking you? And he goes, nobody is attacking me. But Odysseus's big mistake as he's sailing away from the island is to take credit for it and to shout, you know, if anybody asks who you were attacked by, you were attacked by Odysseus. And so Cyclops goes and tells his father, and Poseidon goes, right, I've got it in for you now, Odysseus. And that's part of why he doesn't get home for 10 years.
So be careful blinding your Cyclopses. Or
Yeah, don't let on who you are, because he'll set his dad on you. Yeah. So how does that relate to your experiences of VR then, Dom?
Well, this was a tricky one because the Cyclops is such a sort of rich and common character in the story of Odysseus. There are so many other ones that are sort of bit part players, but this is a really big one. And there are a lot of, I mean, essentially, I'm using the Odyssey as basically metaphors to describe my own individual experiences. So the complication of this chapter is trying to map one of these big metaphorical moments with one of my own experiences. And I couldn't find anything that, you know, really directly mapped quite so well. The metaphors you can think of, things like sort of single perspective experiences with the one eye, mm-hmm. isolation in VR. One of the things that was interesting as well is that, you know, you have the Cyclops lives in a cave, and caves are also, I can't remember what they stand for, maybe one of you will remember it, but is a term that is used for sort of fully immersive rooms as well, where it's not just like a head-mounted display, but you know, the entire space around you is like an immersive room. So
I think cave stands for cave audio visual environment or something ridiculous. It's kind of like a nested acronym, which is really ridiculous. Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt. Anyway, carry on.
That was an invitation to jump in with a definition if you had that. So I was just thinking around, you know, what's my analog here, and you know, how can I deploy sort of some of my own experience here. So again, I went back to some of the earlier experiences that we had at the university. So following on from the virtual Alps climb, we had some requests come in from staff to explore this shiny new toy and to invest in some kit and help them to use it to meet their learning outcomes, some of which were defined and some of which were not so clearly defined. So part of our role as learning technologists was to figure out how to use this stuff and to figure out what possible purposes it might be. So I had an experience of being sat in a swivel chair in an office, strapping a early version of an Android, you know, Samsung Android phone into a headset receptacle, and getting some of my own first sort of slightly freer VR experiences than the climbing one. So there was one, just I suppose, you know, these are really loose associations, but tying in with Poseidon, which is where I was underwater and I was looking around and I was seeing all of these kind of sea creatures moving around me. So it might be a whale or a shoal of fish were sort of swimming past me. So that was one. And there was another one where we set up a workshop with some of our staff in the business school, who were interested in looking at possible business applications for virtual reality at the time. And again, some of the early workshops were like, well, let's get to know this stuff, see what's available in it, and we can figure it out from there. Sort of a bit more exploratory there. And one of the apps available in this Samsung headset was a dinosaur experience. You enter into the app and you go into this prehistoric environment and you don't get to move around in it, but suddenly this giant creature raises its large neck and turns around to look at you, and you're suddenly confronted by the perception of confronting a real dinosaur. Oh, okay, that's going to have to be my Cyclops then, even though it's probably had two eyes.
So I've just looked it up, and CAVE is actually CAVE Automatic Virtual Environment. Because I was, for my sins, I was video conferencing coordinator for Wolverhampton University around 1999, I think. And one of the things I did wrong in that job was showing people video conferencing by getting some video conferencing kit at two different sites, because there was like six different campuses that were up to 25 miles apart, and go, look, we can talk to each other. Look, we're talking to each other. And, you're just talking to each other, and you're just there to have a look at what video conferencing can do. And you didn't get to feel what it was for until you used it in a real live situation for something or other. So, with virtual environments, you could show people a virtual world, but unless you're using that virtual space, the VR, to meet up in order to do something, then you don't really understand what it's, you don't get it, really. I think that's part of the problem with a lot of tech. I mean, did you feel that with that initial thing that you were doing, is like, I can see what the tech does, but I'm not quite sure why I'd want to use it? Because was it being used to convey something, to learn something, or was it just being used to show what it did?
Yeah, I mean, in that particular case, there was a wow factor, because I'd never been looked at by a dinosaur before. It felt like I was being looked at by a dinosaur, so it was quite incredible in that sense. Again, then there was this blank space in thinking, well, what can I do with this? If this is what you can do, how can we use this to support teaching and learning? And obviously this is long before I discovered the rich history of people that had spent lots of time thinking all this through in advance and aligning it with learning outcomes and things like that. One of the things that on reflection I learned at that particular point was about movement. So there are kind of two conventions for thinking about movement in VR, and they're called 3 degrees of freedom and 6 degrees of freedom. And in this one, I had 3 degrees of freedom. So I could turn my head to the left, turn it to the right, and I could look up, and down. But if this dinosaur attacked me in VR, I couldn't go anywhere. I was rooted to the spot. So that was another useful lesson, is sort of the value of movement in a virtual space.
Yeah, I think you really feel present, particularly with other people, if you can move closer and further away from them. And with video-based virtual reality, that's the biggest disadvantage, is you don't feel fully present because you have a fixed position within that video. And so therefore, your sense of being there is limited by that, because you are there, but you're rooted to the spot and can't do anything about it. No. So, yeah, I can see the difference why 6 degrees would be important, particularly if you want to run away from a dinosaur. I mean, that's hugely important.
So perhaps the Cyclops represents, the big problems, the big enemies, the big foes that we have to fight as we're beginning to use virtual reality in education. So people don't think through necessarily how they're going to move, where they're going to be able to look, or they get absolutely tied up in, let's create the most realistic dinosaur we possibly can, and then somebody says, lovely, fantastic, what are we going to do with this dinosaur? And they're like,
single-minded.
It looks really cool, doesn't it?